All right. Good morning, Calvary. How we doing? Doing good? We'll get out there today. This might be the last best day we have all year, so get out there and enjoy it. For starters, how about we want to thank everybody who came out to the Soup Fellowship last night? Who all came? I was there, so I know if you're lying. All right. Yeah, no, it was a good time. There was some good food from what I was told. I was pestered all night to try the food, but it was Jess and I's anniversary, so we were going to dinner afterwards, so I didn't get to try it, but everybody seemed happy who did. I don't know. We didn't really have a winner, or we kind of had a... Okay, we had an unofficial winner of Heidi's cheeseburger soup. Is that what you call it? Yeah. And she was a good Jenga mate. She did good. Yeah, okay. And at the end here, when I'm done rambling, Lou's going to show some pictures from last night. And you'll probably be able to see me winning Jenga multiple times, if we're lucky. Dalton and them back there are like, this dude's lying. All right, birthday's coming up. Speaking of it, Dalton Rhodes on the 25th. And then we've got Jan Kalinowski on the 25th as well. So make sure to wish them a happy birthday. Upcoming fellowship lunch with Graceway Church, that will be November 3rd, and that'll be right after here the morning service. November 3rd is two Sundays from today, yeah. So keep that in mind, and then for anybody interested, if you're interested in getting involved in a Bible study, we've got one that takes place at 9:30 and then over on the other side in the Sunday school room. And tonight, this evening, there'll be a special evening service with Kiefer Creek Baptist Church, as there will be a baptismal service. That's for tonight. And, okay, for the upcoming church merger, so this is the important announcement. It even says important announcement. So, number one, we've been approached by this church in Auburn that is looking for a building for their church, and they've been renting a space for a few years, and now they are ready for a more permanent location, hence the idea of coming and merging with us. And so, our church and theirs has had a number of discussions with their leaders about this possible merger coming up. And we are considering this due to the financial situation, and merging could help both churches, so it's sort of a win-win. It's a really good idea. I don't know if it just organically came about, but it seems like a win-win for both. Because our weekly budget is at the bottom of the bulletin each week, so you can kind of follow along as far as those financial concerns are concerned. And the church is called Graceway Church, which is an affiliate of the Southern Baptist Convention, so there's good common ground there. And they have a strong children's ministry and have the same beliefs as Calvary, so that's good. They will visit us and we will worship together on October 27th, so that'll be next week. And then the following Sunday on November 3rd, as just discussed, they will lead worship there, and then there'll be a luncheon afterwards to try to mingle with them and get to know their congregation a little bit better. So there is a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center in the lobby to try to bring some sort of side or dessert for the lunch afterwards, but chicken will be provided. And if you're curious about kind of knowing more about them, you can go to their website. It's gracewaypeople.com. Jess and I did that just to kind of get an idea of see who the pastor is and things of that nature. But we ask that everybody here continue to pray about this potential merger here as we get closer to it, and that just God would bless this. And if you have any questions regarding this whole thing, you can contact Dennis, Lou, or Rick on the matter. Okay, now we are going to go to, right, the slides of the soup fellowship yesterday. There we go. Thank you. champion. Champion again. Cool. Well, there you have it. We had a good time. Okay. Dear God, we come to you in prayer here this beautiful Sunday morning. We thank you for the speaker that we have here this morning. We just pray that you would bless him and guide him, and pray that you would give us here, the congregation, focus and concentration to hear his word. We just pray that we would be able to sing and praise you with our full hearts this morning, God. And we really just ask that you would bless and give wisdom to our church leaders and Graceway's church leaders as we continue to move closer to this potential merger, God. We just pray that your will would be done in this. And we pray for guidance along the way, God. And we just pray. We thank you for everything that we have, everything that you've given us. We pray that you continue to provide us with spirits that are eager to please you and to reach others, God. And we just pray that that would be what Calvary is all about. And that's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
You're invited to stand.
Father God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Father God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy outstretched hand. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great mighty God, great in counsel, mighty in deed. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Father God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Father God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched hand. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. This is my Father's word, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's word. I rest me in the heart of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds that shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this morning, this beautiful weather we have today, this wonderful fall day that starting to see the colors and the beauty that you've given us for this season. And we praise you for that, Father. There's no end to it, it seems. And you bless us in so many ways. Bless our church, and we thank you for that. We pray that you bless our nation at this time. We're in a lot of turmoil right now, a lot of difficulties, a lot of things to think about and decisions to make. And we just pray that they'll all be guided by you and that we'll look to you for the right choices and the right answers. And we pray the same for our leaders as they lead us daily. We pray for the worship this morning here, for the music, for the presentation of your word through our guest this morning. And we pray for this offering, pray a blessing on those that are able to give, and a special blessing on those that aren't. And we pray that you'll use it to your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. us to the joy divine.
This morning, as you go ahead, you want up there. The Gideons are a great organization. He's going to tell us about it. And it's a needful thing in this world more than ever. Jerry, please.
Every Sunday, churches open their doors to communities around the world for people to fellowship, to worship, to grow, and to renew their spirits with a hope found only in the Word of God. But for many, Sunday is a day like any other. That's where the Gideons come in. As a missionary extension of the church, Gideons meet people where they are, by placing Bibles in the traffic lanes of life, and by personally sharing the message of true hope with the weary traveler, the sick and discouraged, with all generations, in small towns and in major cities, across time zones and countrysides, and to the ends of the earth. So men, women, boys and girls can learn who they are in Christ and experience life as children of God. Gideons have never done this work alone. It's churches, just like yours, who make their work powerful and effective in different cultures and languages, throughout some 200 countries, territories, and possessions across the globe. Gideons are members of Churches First. Dependent on God's people for support through prayer, giving, and a growing membership. Because in the end, we're all carrying out one vision, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel to bring people to Christ.
Meeting the need for sharing God's love and salvation to a discouraged, confused, and dying world has been the desire in the works of the Gideons International for over 100 years. The Ministry and Association of Christian Business and Professional Men is now organized in 200 countries around the world and distributes scriptures in 109 languages. Through God's blessings and the prayers and support of churches like yours, members of the Gideons last year distributed over 56 million scriptures into the key traffic lanes of life. From bustling cities to small rural villages, the gift of scripture is lighting everyday lives. Isaiah 55:11, God speaking, says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Susan Punt received a New Testament from the Gideons when she was a senior in high school. She took it home and placed it in a drawer. One day a friend of hers asked if she knew she was going to heaven. She went home and opened that testament and began reading that scripture. She realized her need for a Savior and accepted Jesus into her heart. She began going to a local church and attending Bible study. She enrolled in a Christian college where she met her future husband, Gary. The couple married and raised two sons. Gary was later diagnosed with cancer and eventually went home to be with the Lord. Still today, Susan knows that God is faithful and true, and he will never leave her nor forsake her. Because of that single New Testament that was handed to her by a Gideon, her mom, dad, and sister eventually all became believers. Her brother also became a believer and is now a pastor. She says, "Every good thing in my life came from opening that testament. Because of the Gideons International, I get to spend eternity with my Lord Jesus Christ. For that, I am forever grateful." Locally, our Allen County group continues to distribute God's word on the campuses of Purdue Fort Wayne, Ivy Tech, Indiana Tech, and St. Francis. Bibles are also placed in hotel guest rooms, hospitals, nursing homes, and in the offices of doctors and dentists. Soft-covered prison Bibles are continually being supplied to our inmates at the Allen County Jail. And we have opportunities on a weekly basis to distribute and to pray with those at our Fort Wayne Rescue Mission. Well, how can you help? Friends, first of all, we need your prayer support. Pray for the distribution of the Word of God, for continued open doors, and for those who read the Word that we place. Secondly, we need your continued financial support. For an investment of about $1.50, you can provide for the purchase and the placement of a scripture throughout the world. This includes all the costs of getting a scripture printed and into the hands of someone who needs it. A Bible like this that is placed into a hotel guest room costs $5. You can also purchase scripture throughout the year by using the Gideon card display in the back of your church. Besides a traditional in-memory card used to pay tribute to a departed loved one or friend, we now have in-recognition and thinking-of-you cards which can be sent on those special occasions, such as a birthday, anniversary, or graduation. And these cards are available for your use free of charge in the display rack located in the back of your church. And there's more information in your Gideon bulletin insert about the Gideon card display. And thirdly, you might consider becoming a Gideon yourself. If you liked what you've heard and you feel in a small way God tugging on your heart to consider an organization such as ours, I'd be happy to talk with you after the service. The Bible today is still the most desired and needed book in the world. Even those who don't believe really rarely turn down the free gift of God's word when it's offered to them. And it's exciting to see how God's Spirit has already begun to move in a person's heart as they open and read that scripture. That same Spirit will minister to their needs. This morning as you leave, I would ask that you would partner with us in holding forth the word of life. Only God knows what a Bible or a New Testament provided by a church like yours and placed by a Gideon will accomplish. And Pastor Harris, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity for allowing me to come and share about the worldwide ministry of the Gideons and congregation. Thank you for your support. It's just been a real joy for me to be here and to be a part of your service this morning. May God bless you richly. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to look at a couple of verses, 16, 13 through 16, Matthew 16. But as you're turning there, you remember that part of my testimony is getting on a plane to go to South Korea. Most people were getting on a plane to go to Vietnam, but the United States government thought that I needed to go to Korea. I don't know if they planned or not, but there were Gideons passing out Bibles, and I got one of those. Now, in my family, we always had a Bible on the coffee table. My mother would dust it off, but I don't ever remember reading it. But because of that reverence for it, I didn't throw it away. I put it in my little closet thing that we had for clothes and that kind of stuff, and just laid there. A couple of guys in my squadron witnessed to me about Christ and all those kind of things. And I got to thinking, I wonder if they're telling me the truth. You know, I don't know. So, hey, wait a second, I got a Bible. So I got up, got that Bible, started reading. The most amazing thing happened. I didn't want to put it down. And I had a four spiritual laws track that somebody, Mike or Ron, had given me. And so I thought, well, I don't know how to do this thing. But I remember they said that track had the plan of salvation on the back. And so I got it out, read it. And it had a place where you sign that track. I thought, that's just a formality. You know, if God is God, he can hear my prayer, and he doesn't need me to sign a piece of paper. So I got out on my knees and prayed, because, you know, being an apostate Presbyterian, that's the way you do it, right? And, of course, the Presbyterians don't want me. But if we were anything, we're in the service. My dad was in the service. That's nothing. And the Presbyterian church that we went to was basically nothing. So, you know, I say apostate. But I got on my knees and I prayed that prayer and did what it said in the tract and got up and started reading that Bible. And I still read it today. The Lord works. He does what he says he'll do. Let's read a brass of scripture from Matthew 16, starting in verse 13. It says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he said to them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter, of course, answered and popped up. And he's always way out in front of his mouth, was in front of his self all the time. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven. For I say unto you, unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Lord, be with us this morning as we attempt to worship. Draw us to your scripture. Help us to feast upon it today. We go from this place not the same as we came. For these things we do ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I don't know if you've been reading or not, but just for months now, I've been reading about the second largest Protestant denomination in the United States. And does anybody know who that is? Who's the first? We are. Southern Baptists are the biggest. United Methodists are second biggest. That they have had a longstanding policy against homosexuality and those kind of things being ordained clergy or anything of that nature. But Of late, they have changed that ruling. So now they allow practicing homosexuals for being ordained and appointed to be ministers. Well, let me try to put a little balance on that. U.S. congregations of the United Methodists are leaving by the droves because of these policy changes. Some call it outrageous, heretical, a disgrace to the scripture and to their calling. Well, Romans 1, Paul says, whosoever, wherefore God also gave them up to an unclean through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is most blessed forever. Amen. Listen to this. God is speaking. God, who cannot lie, is calling us out from sin to holiness. And God is telling us what sin is, so we don't have to go around wondering what that is. He labels it, he says it clearly, and then he calls for us to repent and come to him and faith in Christ. Verse 27 says, and likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the women, burning their lust one towards another, men and women working that which is unseemly and receiving unto themselves that just recompense of the error. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, most fearful statement in all the scripture, I think. But God gave them over to be reprobate minds and do those things which are not convenient. Listen, recently, these things have been coming to the forefront more and more and more. Evangelical groups all over the place, Legionnaire Ministries, for example, teamed up with Lifeway Researchers, that's the Southern Baptist Convention, and they had a survey. Out of 630 professing evangelicals, the result was this. There are about 52% of American adults that were surveyed in this believed that Jesus was a great teacher, but nothing more. Even more disheartening is 30% of those evangelicals who were surveyed said that Jesus was merely a great teacher. 66% of those who were surveyed said he was a great teacher, but expressly was not God. Well, Dr. Stephen Nichols, chief officer of Legionnaire Ministry, said, as the culture moves us, increasingly abandons its moral compass, professing evangelicals are also sadly drifting away from God's principles and God's holy word as well. That's talking about us. Not those guys way over there someplace. That's talking about us. Well, the great apostle Paul exhorts in 2 Timothy, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them of. And that from a child, Paul is saying, that thou knowest the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The great form of these things, and the great teacher C.S. Lewis said, a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be just a great moral teacher. He would be insane. Listen, Curtis Hudson said, a great biblical preacher works at the Atlanta area post office before he was ordained, said during his time as a clerk, Hudson often shared his faith with customers. One day, one of the customers objected to something that Hudson was saying in his witness. He said, the way I see it, this is business about heaven wasn't part of the post office. And you were crossing the line in from your job to your profession of religion. Listen, when we came to Coventry Highway, out of this, the system of those kind of things happen over and over and over again. As long as we are sincere, people say that we'll go to heaven. Sincerity is not what God is asking for. What do you think about that? Well, Hudson said this. There's only one thing wrong with all that that guy was telling him. He said, you're not going to heaven from the post office. It's through Jesus Christ, who is Lord. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, what? The truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's pretty exclusive, and rightly so. And as I said last Sunday in Matthew 16, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you're John the Baptist. That's a pretty good compliment. That was a pretty good compliment. Some say you're Elijah. That's a pretty good compliment. Others that you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. All those things were complimentary. But Jesus said, but whom say ye that I am? And of course, we can always count on Peter popping up and saying, Lord, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen, who is Jesus? He's the Son of the living God. He is the Word made flesh. He is God in the flesh, speaking to us. And we have got that captured for us in the Scripture. Now, what are we going to do with him? That's our responsibility. Are we going to take him into our life and let him be Lord of our life? Or are we going to set him on a pedestal someplace and put him outside of our life, having really no influence in our life or anything around us? The most important question of all eternity is, what are we going to do with Jesus? It's not like buying strawberries from a food store that we hope will taste good and ripe and all that kind of thing. Have you ever bought any and you took them home? Ugh, yuck. Yeah, that can happen. But listen, when you plunge your face and trust in Jesus and you taste of him, it will not be disappointing. God will come as he promised and fill your life. He will change your... It takes a little time to change this old noggin and this heart. But if we feast on this word, it can happen. Our whole perspective changes. Our values change. Our priorities change. How we look at the world change. What we think about ourselves change. What we think about others change. Because of who Jesus is and what he does in our life. This is the task that's set before us. The great task of telling the good news, not just to Fort Wayne, but to the whole world. Who knows what God will be doing with the witness that you present? Who knows what God will do with the support of the Guinness Ministry? It's marvelous. It's wonderful. Who knows? God's at work. Let's join him. Stop fighting against him. Stop being so arrogant. Stop being so prideful. And humble ourselves and say, Lord, without you, I'm nothing. But with you, I'm everything. I'm a child of your love. You're the King of kings and Lord of lords. And you're Lord of my life. And I love you. And I want to serve you. Help me to grow in your grace. Help me to grow in your grace. Isn't it an amazing thing that one of the things that we have is part of our tradition and history and all those kind of things, quickly being attacked, no less, is we start out with Bible study. Then we come to worship. You say, well, that doesn't make any difference. Well, I think it does. We put the word first. Let's read the word. Let's get it intake. Breathe in. Breathe in. And then we come and worship. Then we can worship him in spirit and truth because we have the rudiments of a building. The foundation is being laid. The supports are being there. It's building, 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 building up in us. And we help each other grow. We support each other. We all have different spiritual gifts, don't we? Some sing and some play and some, like Pastor Kim, he's just all over the place talking about Jesus everywhere he goes. And he's always in trouble because of that. Lord, we just continue to ask to bless his heart. But that's what has to happen. We have to be the person that God wants us to be, whoever we are, whoever we are. I look out here and I see Dennis and I thank God for him. I see Ron back there. I see every one of you, we're part of the body of Christ, and God wants us to grow together. He wants us to be a people on fire for Him, on a mission for Him. There's things that I have to do around the house. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this thing or not, but my wife's shaking her head, though. This kind of happens around your house, too, probably. Your wife comes down and says, whose pants are these in the floor? Whose shoes are these in the floor? As if she doesn't know whose pants those are and whose shoes. You know what that is? It's a hint. Pick those up. Put them where they're supposed to go. If you're going to put that suit jacket on later on, hang it up like it's supposed to be hung up. Don't be putting your shoes in the middle of the room. The first thing I like to do, sit down in my chair, take my shoes off. How about you guys? That's what I like to do. My wife doesn't like those shoes sitting there all the rest of the day. She wants either on my feet or put away properly. I see some people shaking their heads, so that's, yeah. Isn't it good, though, that we have that other complimentary soul in our life, especially as men? I think to myself, what a world would look like without women. It would be chaotic. There'd be shoes piled up all over the place, dirty clothes, nothing would ever get done. Thank God for our spouse. Thank God for our children, our families. Thank God for our friends, those who share the same faith we do in Christ, those who help us grow in His grace. Thank God for them. Now listen, when you leave from this place today, you're not just simply going to rush out to KFC and get some turkey. I don't think you can get turkey at KFC, can you? Some chicken, or wherever it is. You're on mission. You go out this door. That's the mission field all around here. Every place you go, that's the mission field. People are going to be watching you. People are going to be wondering what you're doing or not doing. Sometimes they actually will confront you, won't they? Hey, what do you think you're doing here? That's okay. That's good. Because they just asked you, what are you doing here? Tell them. Tell them. We're supposed to be His advanced guard with this marvelous and wonderful treasure to share with them. If we believe in our hearts that this is the Word of God, what better gift could you give to someone than imparting that Word, giving that Scripture, sharing that faith? Nothing, nothing, nothing. Lord, thank You for the Gideons. Thank You for what they're doing. Ask Your blessing on them. Be with us now, Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the day You've given us, the opportunity to come here and worship You and hear about the great ministry that we're a part of in the fellowship with the Gideons. And we pray, Father God, You'll continue to just use them in a mighty way all over the world, multiple languages, all kinds of places that some of us might not even know where that's at on the map, but they do. And then, Lord, for our own country, we know and understand it's getting harder and harder for the Gideons to even place a Bible in a hotel or motel room anymore. That's because of the opposition that is raising its head to the Word of God. But, Lord, You're greater. You're greater. Give us the victory. Give us Your will to be done in our lives and those around us that we touch with the good news of the gospel. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. If you have something open to public to share, you come. Don't hesitate. Don't delay.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your
at the door, and as you go out, if you're ready to give, he'll have his Bible open, he can give, but also there are envelopes that you can give to the Gideons, and so take advantage of that. You're dismissed.